I want you to look up your Bible on your device, or if you have a real Bible, as my mother used to say, turn to Acts 4:24. This is the NIV. The disciples, the apostles, Peter and John, had just prayed or had just healed a man through the name of Jesus. Remember Acts 3, the lame man, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And you would have thought people would have been so happy, but they sent him to jail. They arrested them. They arrested them. Oh, pastor, that would never happen in our day. Did you know in the healing revival of the 40s and 50s and early 60s that there were ministers literally arrested for practicing medicine without a license because they prayed for the sick? Literally. Men and women went to jail for praying for the sick. Literally. So the things we are going through in our time is nothing different than has gone on before. It's just intensified and just changed keys just a little bit, and the tempo has picked up. Peter and John prayed for this man. He got well, and they were taken to court, and Peter just preached a sermon to him, said, look, we didn't do this. We just did it in the name of Jesus. And do you know what they told him to do? Don't do anything in the name of Jesus anymore. Do not do anything in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't you have church anymore. It was against the law to have church like that. So when they got back in Acts 4, they told the other believers what happened. And the first thing they did, they didn't praise God for what they had been through. They didn't praise God for that. Remember this, God does not, please don't forget this, God does not make our way difficult. People and principalities make our way difficult. The only time God will put something in front of us to stop us is if we're going the wrong way. Think about that. If you're going the wrong way, God will never lead you through a tough place to teach you something. He will lead you. He always knows it's there, but he will say to you, look, I knew this was here. Don't concern yourself. Stay with me. You're going to learn something. Hello? Does a pitcher or does a batter ever say to the pitcher, hey, this time when you pitch the ball, hit me? No, if the pitcher hits the batter with the ball, what happens? Yeah, they get in trouble. Either they go to fighting or somebody gets in trouble. They don't arrange that. The batter doesn't learn anything from getting hit. He has to heal. What do you learn from it? Stay out of the way of the ball. But nobody is ever trained by, today we're gonna teach you how to get hit by a ball. God doesn't do that either. So the only time of God will put something before us, remember Balaam on the donkey is going to prophesy against God's people, and the angel of the Lord came down to stop him, because you can't curse what God's blessed. Not possible. So God wants you to know, as the people prayed, watch this, when they heard this, when all of the brothers and sisters heard this, they what? They raised their voices. They didn't pray under their breath. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, you have made heaven and earth. They acknowledged first what he did. The Lord wants me to press on you today that some of the reason that you're not experiencing his presence when you praise is because you don't develop relationship with him in prayer. God is not a spiritual harlot that you give him a few praises and then get your jollies and run off. Was that too literal for some of you? For praise to work in your life, you first must be a person of prayer. Wow. Because hollow praise is like beating on pans. It just annoys you. Have you ever been around somebody that just, praise the Lord? Well, I praise, and it just irritates you every time they say it. When you get that feeling from hearing someone use praise the Lord, well, hallelujah, it's because they're disconnected. Wow. Prayer is what keeps us connected, and when we praise him, he knows we're not praising him because we want something. Praise is not the way you rub the magic lamp to make things work. Praise is because you have relationship with him. Praise is because you know who he is. We have let up on prayer, and we have expected somebody's song to make us feel better, and that's not what God has intended. We must have relationship with him. When we have relationship with him, then we can declare the victory. Say, when I have a relationship with him, I can declare the victory. When Lauren, my oldest son, was really, really small, probably 4 or 5 years old, he picked up a phrase that I used a lot in crusades and revivals, and it's because people don't say it much. They will always say, pray for me that I'll have the victory. Pray for me that I'll be an overcomer. I'm not going to. You have to do that. What I do is I pray, have a relationship, and then I walk around going, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. How do you know? Because I have a relationship with the one who has given me the victory. I've got the victory. Lauren would get in a grocery store and he would do this. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Up and down the aisles, up and down the aisles. And I can see one particular man stop him and say, well, little fella, what are you saying? And Lauren looked up and said, I've got the victory. And he just kept walking. Last night I was talking to Lauren and I said, I'm going to use an illustration of what you did when you were a little boy. I said, when I would say, I got the victory, yeah. He said, you're not going to believe this, Dad, but just a few minutes ago, I was in prayer, and he said, I was walking around in my prayer room like I was a kid going, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes through prayer. And if you want your praise to work, you have to be a person of prayer. Do you know why Paul and Silas were able to sing the jailhouse doors open? It's because they were men of prayer. And when they praised, the Heavenly Father recognized their voice. He recognized them. And he said, oh my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have to understand how important prayer is to our praise. If you've not been praying, your praise will not work. If you have been praying, your praise will work. This is not where I plan to go. Do you remember Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door? How many of you have heard that? Did you know we have taken that literally, that Jesus meant go into your closet, and we've pushed the shoes back and we've pushed the clothes back? That is not what he was talking about. And we have all thought it meant, getting in the closet was putting on the prayer shawl. And that is not what he was talking about. That word closet in the Greek literally means go into your safe. Where does a person who has very expensive items put them? In a safe. Men, women that have bought, and I say women because I know there are women who have guns around here, especially those that you've saved up for a long time, you buy a gun what? Gun safe. And you put the guns in a safe. Jesus, this was in reference to people going to a place where very expensive, important things were kept. Jesus said, when you pray, you go to that special place. You have a special place. Did you know literally? He was saying, literally, go to your bedroom. Everybody here an adult? Do you know why he said that? Because that's where intimacy takes place between a husband and wife. Not in a closet where the clothes are. It doesn't happen on the street. Hopefully. It is an intimate place. Jesus said, have an intimate place that you have just for prayer. Go to that place that is as intimate as your bedroom. And you shut the door, and you and I, but Pastor, does that mean I can't pray as I'm going? No. It doesn't mean you can't pray while you're riding down the road. It doesn't mean you can't pray while you're working. Gentlemen, sometimes your wife, whether she says it or not, would like to say to you, when are you and I going to have time? Every time we sit down, you're watching a game. You're looking at sports. You're flipping through Facebook. You're flipping through the political news. When are we going to have time just for us? Are you hearing me? He knows you pray as you drive down the road. But what he sent me here this morning to tell you is if you want your praise to work, you and him need some alone time. This doesn't make us shout. This doesn't make us run the aisles. It makes us think. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I have so much going on. If you make an appointment with the doctor, you're there. If you make an appointment with the banker, you're there. And God forbid, if you make an appointment with the cable TV guys, you're there, or if you miss it, they ain't coming back for months. We make appointments to get our hair cut. We make appointments to go to the doctor. We make appointments for everything. The Heavenly Father, to you today on this Labor Day weekend, He said to me, tell them, if they want their praise to work, I need some alone time with them. Are you listening? Write these things down very quickly. Pastor, you didn't do an overhead. No, you didn't need it today. He said, you need to write this down and just pay attention to what I've said. You need to pray because prayer brings you into God's presence. Not just riding down the road, and I want you to know I have experienced His presence riding down the road. Have you? Oh, music's been playing, but there are a lot of times that I just want everything off. My wife can tell you, I just want everything quiet because I want to hear Him. Prayer brings me into God's presence. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, you're more apt to help somebody that you know. Is that right? The Father is more willing to help those He knows. Wow. Prayer brings us into God's presence. Secondly, prayer directs my focus to Him. I'm not watching traffic. I'm not listening to everything else going on. It's just me and Him. My wife's most powerful question is, did you hear what I said? I said, my wife's most powerful question to me is, did you hear what I said? The reason you're not hearing Him talk to you is because you're not going to the intimate place and spending time with Him. When He does speak to you out on the street, you don't know whether it's Him or the devil. And then when you come together and people praise and it just doesn't click with you, you're going, I just don't understand all that. It's because you don't have intimate time with Him. Am I preaching too hard? Thirdly, prayer helps us recognize our place and our purpose. You show me a person that doesn't know who they are and what their place is, and I'll show you a person that doesn't pray. They're going to always try to be like somebody else. Why is it when we do something for God, we always want to be like somebody else? Wow. And then again, there is this tendency that if we don't want to be like anybody else, I'm not going to do anything they tell me to do because that's just not me. This better be you or there won't be any you. You've got to have time with Him. I recognize my place. I know my purpose. Let me ask you this. In Acts 8 and 9, do you remember when the Apostle Paul got saved? His name was Saul. Do you remember that? Do you remember how the vision came to him? And Jesus said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Do you know why that happened? Do you know why Paul was converted on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 8? Do you know why that happened? Well, because the Lord did it. No. Do you know why the Lord did that? It was because back in chapter 6 and 7, there was a fellow by the name of Stephen that told the entire story of how Jesus got here. And when they took him out to stone him, listen, when they stoned him, Acts chapter 7 and 8, when they stoned him, what was the last thing he said about the people stoning him? Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. And the Bible tells us that and in that group stood Saul, and he participated by letting them lay their coats at his feet while they stoned Stephen. And the church with Stephen from that day on prayed for everybody that was persecuting them. That's why Paul got saved. Ever thought about that? That's why Saul became Paul. Because somebody prayed for him. Prayer helps me recognize my place and my purpose. I can pray for people and people get saved in places that I don't even know. There are folks that did not know that their prayer changed Saul's life. Number four, prayer aligns my heart with God's heart. Say that. Prayer aligns my heart with God's heart. I don't have to run around saying, God, what is your will? Because my heart's his. I don't have to get myself worked up to praise him when I come in because my heart is his. When the first note hits, my heart is his and I'm here. You have my attention. Wow. When you pray, you will expect an answer. Write that down. Because your heart is with him, as you become a person of prayer, you will expect answers. You won't be surprised when he answers you. Stand, please. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Some time ago, I was driving down the road and I was just talking to the Lord and I said, Lord, I love you. Silence. I said, Lord, I love you. Silence. Well, Pastor, do you really expect? Yes, sir. We talk to one another. I said it again, Lord, I love you. Silence. And I started weeping. I said, oh, Lord, have I done something to offend you? What's going on? I pulled my car over to the side of the road and crawled up in an embankment and got in the weeds and said, Father, I've told you several times I love you. I've not heard from you. That's not like us. What's going on? And all of a sudden, I heard as clear as if Logan Hammond had stood at my ear and said, I love you too. Mark, I jumped up out of those weeds and ran down the embankment and started running up and down the side of the interstate. And my hands were in the air. I just forgot where I was. And when I came to, this tractor trailer had pulled over and the guy jumps out and he says, are you okay? Are you okay? What's going on? Is somebody after you? Because my hands were in the air and I was running back and forth. Are you okay? I said, and tears are just running down my face. I said, I just told Jesus I loved him. He said he loved me too. And the truck driver broke down and started crying. And he started to walk away. He said, I wish I knew him like that. I grabbed him, laid hands on him, and the power of God came on that guy, and he goes back to his truck like this. See, ladies and gentlemen, without prayer, there is no power to praise. It's only noise. God doesn't pay attention to noise. He pays attention to the heart. Wow. Is this helping anybody? Where is your special place to pray? Where is it? Do you have one? Where is it? Make it your bedroom if you have to. Make it a place that you can lock the door and you pray. It has to happen, or we're not going to see the supernatural take place. When we're more concerned about, you know, we just need to get together and fellowship more and more and more, that's not going to draw you closer to Jesus. Prayer will. And then your fellowship will draw you closer to one another. Bow your head. Father, in the name of Jesus, today, we want to be sure in this series, I know and I believe. I know in whom I believed. I know because I have relationship with you. I don't have to try to find somebody that I can connect with. I will always connect with you. And then you will send people to connect with me. And that way I don't get the wrong people in my life. Today, in Jesus' name, Father, may we take these few things that we've mentioned about prayer and apply them to our lives by first today, before Labor Day, this Labor Day weekend, deciding this is going to be my prayer time. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. We cannot be a church that praises until we become a church that prays. We cannot be a person of praise until we are a person of prayer. We cannot be a person of faith and the word until we are a person of prayer. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for speaking to us today. And everyone said, amen. It's great to see you today. I hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend. Enjoy yourself, but be sure you spend time with Him.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.